Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective and welcome to episode 47 of Cephalon Squared. I am Cephalon Greg and I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How are you?
I'm doing alright. It's been a week.
A week
I'm quite glad is now behind us. Yeah, it had its ups and it had its downs, but it's a week and it's gone now, so yay. How are you?
I'm alright. It was a week, but it wasn't the same kind of week for me, so I'm alright.
That's good.
What it is, and hopefully this week will just be good for all of us.
I hope so too.
That would be super.
Yes. Super.
So how's the weather treating you, though?
The weather?
On this day of days.
Well, the weather. Here in our little slice of heaven, Ipswich, it is currently 17 degrees Celsius with an 80% humidity.
Crikey. So 17 degrees is 62 degrees Fahrenheit. And down here in Melbourne, where I am, it's 58 degrees Fahrenheit. I'll start with you people for once. Which is 14 degrees Celsius and 73% humidity. So it's been a kind of coldish day, but not too cold. It's just weird weather. It's weird winter, weather. But it's just weird. We went across to a local little, tiny little mountain range and went for a walk today, which was nice. Kids like climbing big granite rocks, so we did let them do that. They didn't fall off. That was super. Didn't have to go to the hospital. That's the way I like it.
That's good. And all I did today was pretty much recover.
You do it to yourself, you do.
Well, yeah, understandable with what yesterday was.
Indeed. Yeah. You going to say it, or are you just going to
keep... keep everyone on the edge of their toes, because I'm an arsehole.
The edge of their toes. Right on the edge. You can all be ballerinas for Lucas.
Yep.
So, considering this week was a week, I do know that you didn't do much or any Warframe of this week. Did you get up to any gaming? Oh, you did a little bit of Warframe.
Did a little bit of gaming. Tuesday, I actually had a friend come over and bring their NES over, the new remake NES that comes with the pre-made games in it. And we just spent a good 7 hours playing good old-fashioned Super Mario World.
As you would, because it's a good game.
It was a great game. So that was my Tuesday. Apart from that, not really much more gaming going on. I did happen to guild my new kit gun that I'd been working on last week's stream. And that is my new favorite secondary weapon. And thank you to good old Dougie from Discord. I decided to name it after him because he helped me pick out the pieces for it. So it is the Name Shifter. And essentially it is a self-reloading Uzi.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope. So it's got 83 bullets to the mag, has a fire rate of 17 bullets per second, and I threw on one of the kit gun arcanes that basically turns it into a battery operated weapon. I believe that's the one. And if you leave it, if you don't shoot for 1.5 seconds, it automatically reloads itself. So yeah, it is a self reloading Uzi.
Still haven't made a rattle guts yet. Are they good?
It's amazing. It's my new favorite gun.
Fair enough. Well, I did make my Catch Moon, finally, my Mini Plasmor, and that's just fucking amazing. It's ridiculous. It's better than the Arca Plasmor. That's what blows me away. The stats just keep going higher and higher and higher, and if you get a Riven for that damn thing, my god. Way overpowered. So I think, next I want to make a Gaze, and I guess now I'm going to have to make a Rattleguts, so...
Yeah.
Fun. So, yeah, I pretty much got up to the same things with you. And last night, because it was my own stream, because you were doing things, I decided to do what I think it was Moth Hop was talking about in the Discord the other day and just allow it to be a troll stream. So people came in and told me what to use. So I think First Anthem AK came in and told me to use Vorben MK Mark 1 Lato and a Mark 1 bow with, I can't remember what weapon it was, the primary. It wasn't very good. And that was a bit of fun. Later on, Frieson joined and made me be Mirage with a Cynoid Simulor with a pink energy color. And that was amusing because you could not see. Everywhere was pink. It was pretty funny.
Wow.
So, yeah, we had a bit of a fun night. It was good. And when there wasn't anyone telling me what to use, I was just randomizing my loadout every time. And that was a bit of fun too. So, it was a good night. Good night overall.
Good things are good.
Indeed. So don't forget to join us on Friday and Saturday nights for our streams, and you can tell us what the hell to do, and it'll be a bit silly. I went into an arbitration as well with one of the loadouts, because it was 300% Revenant and 300% Exurgis. Like, I wasn't going to try that. It was good. It was fun. It was piss easy. I could have gone on indefinitely, I reckon, but I only did the first 10 minutes for shits and giggles.
Nice.
Solo?
And you didn't die this time?
No.
Oh, wow. Wow, well done.
Ha ha, very funny, motherfucker. Anyway, on to the news. I was expecting this week to be news-free. Free of all news. But it was not. It was definitely not free of all news. So, you want to kick it off, Lucas?
I can indeed kick it off. Alright, first off, episode 4 of DE Constructing has been released, and this one looks to be more on sound design.
Yes, it's the second part of sound design, because I think the first was episode 3 was also audio. So,
yay, audio. A
continuation. Alright, next up, Tenogen Round 16 hit PC this week with Operator Accessories, Cyandanas, Helmets for Frost Hydroid and Korra, Skins for Nakana and Polearms, as well as Skins for Frost, Korra, 2 for Nyx, 2 for Valkyr, and another one for Wukong. There's some pretty good skins in there, nothing mind-blowing this time round, I think. Although I did see someone in the Discord put on the new Korra helmet, which made Korra look very much like Bayonetta, and I did enjoy that. So, cool stuff is cool.
Cool stuff is cool. Next up, the TennoCon schedule is live. Note that friend of show Backyardist TV will be doing a stream on stage just prior to Tenno Live.
I assume he'll be doing it on his normal Twitch channel, Backyardist TV, but who knows, because he will be there in person and he will be there on stage. So I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm hoping we can tune in because, you know, he's a good guy and I'd like to give him some support and just say,
g'day!
He is a
good guy.
Support the dude.
Support the Aussies.
Indeed. So we were hoping that the Jovian Concord would go into cert this week, and luckily enough it did. So it went into cert, I think, on Thursday our time. For all consoles, and hopefully that means it should be Tuesday or Wednesday when it's finally live. All things going well.
Indeed. Good news there. Next up, the Nightwave Intermission is coming this week to all platforms. 15 ranks with its own rewards to fill in the gap while we wait on Series 2, which is now expected to arrive after TennoCon.
Yeah, so I think this is a good idea. So it's a no-story intermission. It's just, you get the axe every week, you get 15 ranks to plow through at the end, you get the Eidolon Ephemera, which is pretty cool. It's got the Rift Sigil in there for those who haven't got the Rift Sigil, so there's some pretty good rewards in there. I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch of people pissed off that you can get the Rift Sigil now just by doing the Nightwave Intermission, but whatever.
Yeah. And there's also a Aura Former.
Yes, there's an Aura Former in there as well, so it's actually pretty good, and I'm glad they're doing this. And I hope that means that in future, say when Series 2 finishes, they just turn the intermission on straight away and it goes for however long, and then Series 3 kicks in. All right, and it is just a quick one. The last week to score your 7-day resource booster via Discord Nitro if you are a Nitro subscriber. So Just a reminder. Last one, Lucas.
Last one. Reb Ford will be at E3 and she will be showing off a demo for Railjack at the PC Gaming Show. This is scheduled for June the 10th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, or 3 a.m. on June 11th Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, 3 a.m. is a bit of a kick in the nuts, but I think I'll just wake up at like 6 a.m. and watch it on YouTube or whatever. But I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how long it's going to be, but cool. We're going to see Railjack before Railjack. Tennogen.
Yeah. Tennocon. Tennocon.
So cool, Railjack. Cool. All right. So the next two bits of news is Cephalon Squared news. This first one we have alluded to in the past, but we just want to make it a bit more official. So Cephalon Squared will be attending PAX Oz. Now, of course, at the moment, Lucas still doesn't have a ticket, so I will be there 100%, but as we've just hit our last coffee goal, I will change the next coffee goal to be get Lucas to PAX Oz 2019. So if you'd like to start throwing us some support on coffee to get Lucas down to PAX Oz, we will figure out what needs to be done. But I have applied for a panel. Fingers crossed we get approved for that, which means we'll do a live episode up in front of a live audience. Oh, I hope we can get
traumatizing
some...
at all.
No, Lucas might be shivering and throwing up in front of you all, but hey, we can point and laugh at him. hopefully Thanks. We can get maybe... we won't do that. Hopefully we can get maybe Backyardist TV on there as well, being a local guy who is also a Warframe partner. We'll see who else is coming down and, you know, if I can convince them to jump on the panel with us. That'll be awesome, but we will also be throwing... Well, we won't really be throwing a party because that implies that we'll be paying. But we'll be hosting... a night somewhere at one of the pubs around Melbourne as well. So if you are coming to PAX Oz and you'd like to join us, let us know. I will be putting like a register your interest button on the website in the coming week, just so that we can get the ideas of the number of people that actually would be interested in coming, and basically putting you on a mailing list so that once the plans are ironed out, we can tell you all directly. So that is exciting stuff. If you are excited and you just want us to know you're excited, send us an email, get in contact with us via the website or whatnot. But yeah, we just want to make it official. We're going to PAX Oz. We're going to have fun. We want to see as many listeners as we can there. Although I do know the majority of our listeners are in the US.
Yeah. And our live stream cast is now planned for episode 50. So this will be on around Sunday, June the 30th. So look forward to it.
Yeah, so we've been planning it for a while. We did promise we were going to do it after we hit 50 reviews. Didn't happen. Things fell over. We've now figured out how to do it, so we can do it. And talking to Lucas, it was like, duh, we're almost at episode 50. Let's do it during episode 50. So get your excited pants on.
Streamcast is coming.
Streamcast is coming. And we don't know what time we're going to do it as yet, because at the moment we do this at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, and that doesn't necessarily suit the majority of our listeners, so we might end up doing that one at a different time, but we'll see. Still got a few weeks to plan. Let us know what you think we should do. All right, so that is the news. Anything you want to add before we get into our discussion, Mr. Silverlight?
Nope, let's discuss away.
All right, so this discussion, it came to me during the week while we were, actually it was on Friday when we were streaming. A friend of mine that I used to play Destiny 2 with was watching the stream and commenting. He's a good guy, a little bit of a troll, he just likes to have a laugh. But he was saying to me that he played Warframe and he thought that the grind was just too much. All you were doing was running through the level, killing a boss, repeat, repeat, repeat. And he thought that was just too much. Warframe, he didn't find it enjoyable. My response back to him was, yes, but at least in Warframe, you know what you're getting when you grind. So if you're grinding a boss, you know the chance of, you know what you're grinding for. Whereas in games like Destiny, yes, sometimes you know that a boss is going to drop a certain weapon, But usually you're just grinding through the same content so you can get a certain amount of items so that you can then use that to do a certain thing. And you're just keeping on going over and over and over and over again. I didn't find the Destiny grind as enjoyable as I do the Warframe grind. And of course, that is a personal opinion. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that really enjoy the Destiny. There are plenty of people out there that really enjoy the Destiny grind. I know there are. We're all kind of different, but it made me think. Warframe is really fucking grindy. We all know that. If you don't like grind, you're not going to like Warframe. There's a lot of people out there that complain about the grind in Warframe and they say, oh, they've got to reduce the grind, blah, 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 blah. So I thought, let's have a discussion today about the endless grind in Warframe. How much is actually too much? Is Warframe too grindy? What do we think about the different kinds of grind versus other games versus whatever, etc.? So what's your immediate thoughts when I mention all that kind of stuff, Lucas?
All right, my immediate thoughts was the first night wave was too grindy.
Yeah.
That
Define what you mean. How was it too grindy?
There was too much to it. There was too much required for such little mediocre reward.
I think if I was going to take the devil's advocate, I would just say to you, but you don't have to do it, because that's not part of the story. You don't have to do.
No, that's true. That's true. But it is, you know, it's more grind that's been thrown into a grind-related game, so people are going to instantly feel obligated to do this.
And that's the point. So to retract from being devil's advocate and agree with you, my problem with it is the obligation. Warframe players are collectors. In essence, boils down to is Warframe players in general are collectors, and they want to get everything. They don't want to miss out on having that one item that you never might be able to get again. Ignis Wraith is a good example. There's lots of people out there that are pissed off that they can't get Ignis Wraith, or they're upset that your clan doesn't have Ignis Wraith. Ah, eye roll. Well, geez, not everyone was around 3-4 years ago. But Nightwave was too grindy because it made you think, and I know it wasn't for everyone. We're all at different parts of our Warframe lives. I found it too much because I have other things I want to do now. I'm not in the middle of a, 50-hour-a-week Warframe binge. I've done that. I did that 2 years ago. Now when I get on Warframe, I've got a couple of quick goals that I want to achieve, and that's it. You know, whatever it may be. But I felt like Nightwave made you get on and do just Nightwave for an hour or so. Some people could go through and smash out Nightwave in however long, but, you know, It really depended on what you were trying to do. I found it got in the way of my goals.
Yeah, yeah. Another thought is that Warframe, to a degree, does have a bit of a grind where you don't know what you're going to get at the end, and that is in the form of the relics.
Mm.
And I actually like that. So when you look at the broad aspect of the farming types in Warframe, it covers the random chance rewards. It covers the, you know, specifically what you're going to get from what fucking enemy. So, you know, in that essence, Warframe kind of covers the broad spectrum of different loot types, which is great.
But even with the random the randomness in certain drops, you still know what the chances are.
Yeah.
Because DE actually advertises, unlike a lot of other game developers, DE advertises their drop rates.
Yeah.
Which is really good, because you know what you're getting yourself into whenever you're doing a certain grind. Yeah, okay, 0.01% is, I think, horrendous. Too low. It's horrendous, but
looking at you, condition overload.
Yeah, but at least you know. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, there are other games where you don't really know what the drop rate is and you just keep going until you hopefully get it, not knowing how long it could potentially be. I mean, and then there's the grind itself. Warframe's grind is extremely lengthy, but you never have to restart anything. I mean, yeah, you got to every time you're former, you got to restart and go through, but it's always towards an end that is bigger than you were before. So whenever you former, you can make a better build than you had previously. And I'm comparing this, I guess, to games like Path of Exile, where every 3 months, a new season starts, and you actually have to start a new character. And then you grind through the whole game again till you get to the end game, and then you try and smash out and make the best weapons you can make, yada, yada, yada. And then 3 months later, a new season starts, and you have to start a new character again. While these have different appeals, and they are different games, I much prefer the way Warframe does it, because you don't have to start again. Like, a new season has just started for Path of Exile, that's why I'm thinking of it, and I'm excited to start it, but I don't really want to play through the whole story again. And it is the first time I've had to do it, so I don't know. I know there's people who have been doing it for 4 or 5 or 6 years now, because Path of Exile is just as old as Warframe. Maybe I don't understand it as well as they do, and that's why they can enjoy it more, but for me, I'm just hesitant to start again. What do you think about the Warframe grind versus other games?
Well, okay, I was just thinking about when I used to play World of Warcraft, and it would be, you know, you'd spend every waking hour building up your level to the level cap. You'd reach the level cap, and then everything after that would be grinding out all the required loot and sets to do to participate in the end game, to then actually get proper end game loot, only for them to then later on go, hey, look, we're dropping another expansion where basically your purple gear, your absolutely epic end game gear, is essentially the equivalent of white gear in the new expansion. It's nothing. So you're gonna have to do it all again. That can be very frustrating. You know, you're putting all that work in for it to essentially mean nothing in the long run. But Warframe doesn't have that. Warframe doesn't have a point where you just look at everything you've gathered and go, well, that's absolutely fucking pointless now.
Yeah, and, you know, while we're being pro-Warframe, being a Warframe podcast, but yeah, while we're being pro-Warframe, another thing I like about it is all the weapons are pretty much available at any old time, and what you make out of the weapons is based on really how you want to build them and what you want to put former into and what mods you want to rank up and what Riven mods you want to chase down and, you know, what Riven mods you would be happy with. And all of that means that you end up with something that is fairly specific to just you. And I know there's a lot of people out there that love to follow the meta and they'll copy other people's loadouts, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's still a loadout that they've chosen based on something that appeals to them.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, looking back at Destiny again, the weapons at the moment are fairly set. They've just put random rolls back in, which is great, but at the end of the day, the reason that I stopped playing Destiny, and don't get me wrong, Destiny 1, I've got just as many hours in Destiny 1 as I do in Warframe. So, you know, I played the shit out of Destiny 1, not so much Destiny 2. And the reason I didn't like Destiny 2, and I know that's going to change and I really hope it does, is once you got all the weapons in the game, you just chose between weapons. You didn't get to make something your own, is what I felt. That's why I liked the way things were in Destiny 1 more than Destiny 2, because the random rolls, while it was really painful and it made the game so much more grindy, you got something that was more your own. And I think that's a point that I wanted to get to in this discussion is
the unique taste.
Exactly.
The unique
grind
taste,
is painful, but if it's done right, it gets you some form of uniqueness.
Mm.
And I think that's what people are chasing for, and I think that's what people like chasing, and they like putting in the time to get to that. Do you think that's what justifies grind, or?
I do. I mean, you look at one of, like, I'm going to say it's one of the better loot games that have ever really been released, and that's Borderlands. Not purely on the game style or the story or anything, but on its loot system. There are literally over a million random generated weapon things that you can get. So every weapon you pick up is unique. I feel like that is one of the main reasons why Borderlands has been so successful, apart from its witty comedy that they throw in it. But yeah, it's you know, every weapon is unique.
Well, apparently Borderlands 3 has got a billion guns in it, they're saying.
Yeah, well, there you go. And what, you know, and looking at Warframe, one of the things that we do chase is that unique build that, you know, may break the meta. You know, I'd say a lot of people out there that want to try and build their own builds for a Warframe or a weapon or a specific, you know, loadout, is that they want to try and change the meta so that people come to them and look at, you know, like, this person made this loadout. It's amazing and it's unique.
Yeah,
you know, it's definitely unique flavor is what makes a looter successful.
Yeah, and if you look at all the different YouTubers out there, you look at Laser Gaming, for example, you look at Tactical Potato, you look at Brozyme, all those different YouTube personalities, they all have different builds. That's what I like about Warframe. Even though there is a meta, there really is no perfect standard to the best way to build something. The reason I like Laser Gaming is because he makes a build and explains every single thing he's doing when he changes it and why it affects the weapon and how it affects the maths. That guy is brilliant, the way he makes his videos. Fantastic. I like Brozyme, though, because he makes videos with builds that are targeted at new players. So a lot of people look at his builds and go, I can make a heaps more powerful build than that. And his answer to them is, go for it. I'm not making a powerful build. I'm making the best kind of build that a new player should be making, because the majority of people who watch these videos are newer players. You know, I respect that. Yeah. Whereas Tactical Potato, he makes builds that are best for him. And they're never the same. And that's one thing I like about Warframe.
Yeah, you even look at other people like Rob from A Gay Guy Plays. One of his things is, in the past, he's actually told people, don't give me your builds because I'm not building for you. I'm building for my playstyle. And that's completely respectable.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing I do like about the game. I mean, it is somewhat limited in the fact that there's, you know, only 300-400 weapons in the game only. But the reason the game is so is open is not because the limited number of weapons, but because of the way mods work.
Yeah.
That's really how the game is open. Now, just to shift a little bit, the grind itself for certain things is really, really heavy. So I'm talking about standing here.
Mm-hmm.
Got a question later on in this episode about the quills. So the quills is a pain in the ass. Fortuna is a little bit of a pain in the ass. Cetus is a tough grind.
Syndicates
is a pain in the ass, especially if you want everything, because you've got to grind three of them and then grind the other three.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
Okay, so on the syndicate front, I like the idea of having opposing factions. I mean, it does make things difficult for those people that want to literally collect everything in the game. But I feel like opposing factions is a necessity in a game this large. So I don't really have a problem with that level of grind. If, you know, forcing you to, you know, pick one side or the other, and then if you really want everything, you got to do it all over again.
Yep.
Now, open worlds, that is, realistically, that is still brand new territory for DE.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely brand new territory. So, I feel like Cetus, you know, Plains of Eidolon, Cetus, Ostrons kind of had a lot of rough patches because, you know, it was their first time trying it out. So the grind was realistically horrendous. But then we go to Fortuna and they gave us more options on how to increase the standing we received, you know, with Ticker and the bonds. And, you know, additions like that, that's amazing. It actually made the grind easier and more, I don't want to say more fun, I don't want to say less, I don't even know the words I'm looking at. Basically, it removed a little bit of the grind, but for the better. And that's great. That's fantastic. What else was there? So, Syndicates and the Quills, I don't really think anything could really... The Quills is the Quills. I mean, you got to participate to receive.
Yeah. I'm still... I don't even know how to say it. I don't know where I sit in regards to standing and factions. Because I feel like, and I understand why, but I feel like it is a system that's put into the game to slow people down.
Mm.
And it is a necessity. Because the team, the dev team, can't just spit out content. As much as we'd love them to, they can't just spit out content. So
no.
Standing is really there as a necessity to slow people down, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, okay, looking at standing, now something they actually were talking about changing, I can't remember if they actually managed to change it or not, but you look at focus, like focus farming, the grind behind that. Originally, it was like you could get 150,000 focus in a day before the click over.
Hmm.
And now, you know, they've boosted that up, so it's, I think it's like 350,000 now. But they also stated that they were going to try and give it a not a hard cap, but a light cap, so that your any focus you receive after you've reached that 350,000 mark is restricted by a massive amount, but it's still possible to receive.
Mm.
If they threw that in for the standing, for, you know, Cetus, Fortuna, whatnot, I feel like that would actually be very beneficial. I mean, it still slows content down, but it doesn't restrict people to having to only do so much per day.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like I said, I get it because, yeah, the dev team can only make as much as they can. They can't, you know, they're not magicians.
Yeah.
And the players expect more than not more than they deserve, but the players expect more from the devs than the devs can perhaps do.
Yeah.
So they need to keep that in check in the best way that they can, and that's fine. I get that, but it does make it really painful, especially when, you know, I've hit just over 1,000 hours now on PS4, and there's still a lot I haven't done. And I haven't exactly been efficient with the way I did things. And I don't really care. But still, the fact that I've still got 3 syndicates that I have to fully level up. And a whole bunch of other stuff. And I hardly even played Conclave at all, for obvious reasons. But there's a whole other system that hasn't even been touched. I don't know. Sometimes I just think that aspect of the grind is too heavy-handed.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the last part the last couple of parts of this conversation. Do you think that the grind is there? And this is, I think, an idea that comes up in the community a lot. I've seen it on the forums, I've seen it in Reddit. Do you think that the grind is there to make people spend more money?
No.
I disagree.
You disagree? You think it's there to make people spend money?
It's not there only to make people spend more money, but I think aspects of the grind is there to encourage people to spend money. Most definitely. It's a business. Yeah. It's a free-to-play game. So they have to build something into the game. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's the way of the world, you know. Yeah. The reality is we live in a world where nothing is free. The devs that go in to make this game for us are all being paid a wage. And the company that makes the game needs to make money to pay all of those people so that they go home and can feed their families. It's the way of the world, but I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be.
No, no. If that is the case, it's definitely not as bad as people make it out to be. Because you look at most of the things that you can purchase with real money, it's cosmetics.
It is. And most of the time, I think it's also people's own bad choices.
Yeah.
You know, for example, someone was saying to me recently that the price of resources in the market is way too expensive. Why does it cost so much to buy 30 plastids or whatever it is? And I think the answer to that is pretty clear. D doesn't want people to buy those things. If they priced it low and reasonably, people would spend too much money on that stuff.
Yeah.
So by pricing it at a high amount, I mean, they could take it out of the market, but...
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, why bother farming when you could just buy?
Exactly.
And if they're at a low, reasonable price, who would farm?
Exactly. So, I mean, the argument is that, okay, why have them in the market at all? But I think you've got to cover all bases. And I think that's what DE is doing. So you can't not have it there at all. And you can't have it there cheaply. And I don't think there's a balance point either. I think it's just got to be expensive. So it makes it a clear decision to anyone who's going to buy it, fuck, that's a lot. I really shouldn't have to spend this much plat on it. But you know what? I'm going to do it. It's not a quick and easy decision. Whoever buys that stuff has to actually think about it because it is overpriced. And I think it's deliberately overpriced for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't say that they can just remove it from the market, because you look at the market and literally in the market has at least some form of every single item type in the game available.
Except Argon Crystal.
Well, it's a material. You can buy materials from market. Argon Crystal's material. You can buy mods from the market. Mods are in the game. Yeah, basically, if something falls under a category, there is something in the market that you can buy relating to it.
Yeah.
Except for Arcanes.
With regards to Argon Crystal, they are, I think, the only resource, one of the only resources, Nitane as well, that you can't buy in the market. And I was going to say that the only reason you can't buy Argon Crystal in the market is because it decays. But that doesn't explain why you can't buy Nitane. Because you can buy every other resource, those two.
Anyway,
I've lost my train of thought because I realized I was wrong. So you can buy everything except Arcanes. It is there to encourage people to spend money. If they want to get through the game quicker, then yeah, they've got to spend money. If they want to earn platinum quicker, then yeah, they've got to spend money. The point is, everything can be done without spending money. And I was talking to an old friend of ours, Lucas, who you may realize who I'm talking about, who quit Warframe because he spent too much money.
Well, I put that down to his own fault.
And that's exactly what I said to him. I said, maybe a little self-control would have been necessary. You can't blame Warframe because you decided to buy every single Prime Access that came out.
Yeah. I mean, for a good...
You can farmed for that.
Yeah, I mean, for a good solid year, I put maybe $30 a fortnight into Warframe.
I put too much money into Warframe. I know I did in the first year or two, definitely. Yeah. But I haven't spent money on Warframe. I haven't spent a lot of money on Warframe over the last year or so.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been far more, and I haven't needed to either. So, yeah, maybe that's the other thing. People that are newer to the game tend to spend more.
Probably. I think I found most of my spendings were going to cosmetics, though. So,
yeah, same.
Yeah.
Same. But I did buy a lot of Prime Accesses. And, you know, thinking back I probably shouldn't have because, you know, a Prime Access is the cost of a full game. So that means I've bought Warframe probably four times over.
Yeah.
Did I need to do that? No, I didn't.
No.
Am I complaining about it? Probably not, to be honest. And I don't feel like I was ever forced into buying those things, because I knew I could have farmed them if I wanted to, but I just thought, you know what? I've got the money, so I may as well just buy it.
Actually, one thing I'm going to say that I disagree with having in the market, Warframe and weapon slots.
Yeah, I do. And I think that's why they've started to put them into Nightwave as well. Because I think they realized that probably wasn't the best idea.
No. restricting how many warframes or weapons a player can have, it's not a good idea.
It's a bit old school. I don't think it's really necessary in this day and age, because the game is so big now that people are still going to spend money without having to get warframe slots.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of the good things that the game holds, like arcanes or stupid rare mods, looking at you again, condition overload, can't be purchased. And that's great. Those that, you know, there are at least some really important end game-ish or, you know, late game-ish materials that you can't purchase. And that's great.
You can purchase them, but only from other players.
Only from other players, yeah.
And that's the thing. So those other players had to have played the game to get it to drop, or someone
someone's got to do the grind.
Exactly, had to do the grind. So, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, I think we'll end it there. Unless you've got anything else you want to say on the grind.
No. We already kind of threw out a couple of improvements ideas.
Yeah, I wanted to just sort of go over a number of different topics when it comes to grind. I don't think there is a final answer because, you know, it's not for everybody.
No.
Some people like grind, some people don't. Some people still play the shit out of Warframe and hate the grind. I don't understand that. Personally, I don't think I would have played Warframe for as long as I have if they took the grind out.
Yeah.
Because the grind is what makes the game. I don't think there's a way that you can make a game replayable without the grind. Even look at Overwatch. The grind in Overwatch are the skins.
Yeah.
People replay that game with no rewards. Just so that they can buy the skins for the characters.
Yep.
That's all it is. So that even that, the grind is for the reward. That's my thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Moving right along to our beginner topic. Now, this week I've chosen something really simple because I've seen a number of players talking about it in our Discord. And also there's a relatively new player on our Facebook group that has a lot of questions about playing solo and how to do it, basically. Can you play Warframe solo all the way through? I think the answer is yes, you can, but how can you play it solo? So it's not necessarily made to be a solo game. Every mission can be played with up to four players for a reason, because it makes it easier and because playing with other people is fun and social, etc. But you can play the whole game solo. It's just going to be a lot slower. Playing solo means you only get one person's amount of affinity. But of course, in the end, when you're playing with other players, their kills go to you as well. So if they're not there, you get the kills. But more enemies tend to spawn when you're playing with other players, so you get more affinity. If you've got, and because of that, you also get more resources, you get more credits, etc. So playing solo is always going to be a slower game. And that's, I think, the biggest issue with playing solo. The second biggest issue is power creep. Eventually, you'll get to a point in the game where the enemies will become tougher. Having other people in your squad can help, because if you die when you're playing on your own, you have to use a revive. If you die when you're playing with other people, they can revive you and you save that revive token. So that's another thing. Plus, if you're struggling to take down an enemy and you've got other people in your team, you can take down that enemy much easier. So what can you do in the game solo without having to even rely on matchmaking? I'd say you can get through probably all of the star chart. You could do solo as long as you get access to the right mods and the right builds. The stuff that you can't necessarily do solo initially are things like sorties, higher level missions on Pluto, Sedna. Some of that stuff, I don't think they're impossible to do solo, but I definitely needed help. When I first started, it was Lucas who helped me get through, I forgot what it's called, but there's the 15 waves you have to do on Pluto to unlock the Pluto Eris Junction or something. It's on Lua. The 15 waves, it's Stoffler. That, I struggled to get through on my own. There were other missions that I really struggled to get through on my own, and I needed a group to get me through. Does it mean it's impossible to get you through? Probably not, but I really think you're going to get to a point later in the game where it makes it much easier to play with other people. Now, Do you have to make friends? Not necessarily. Do you have to talk to people? Not necessarily. So on PC, when you're in a group with other people, you don't have to talk to people. I think you have to press T or... Well, I can't remember what button you got to press, but you got to press a button to be able to talk to other people. On PS4, though, if you're in a group, you are automatically opted into chat. So keep that in mind if you're wearing a headset that has a microphone. I'd say it's the same on Xbox and quite possibly on Switch. If you don't want to talk to people, you just turn that off in the settings. So matchmaking with other people is actually pretty good, but it depends on what platform you're playing on and what region you're playing in, because you might not matchmake with a lot of other people. So that way you're still technically playing solo, because you're not necessarily playing with other people, but there are other people around the world who are in your squad. But I guess the issue is, there is some synergy between different Warframes, and it is good to know what other people are using, and so that you can talk and say, hey, use this ability over there and do this and do that. There is some benefit from actually talking to people. But you don't have to. You can matchmake into everything. You can even matchmake into sorties. You can matchmake into the Eidolon fight. You can matchmake into the Prophet Taker. So technically, you can play the entire game solo using the in-game matchmaking system. However, there's a lot of the game that you will miss out on if you don't join a clan. You'll also have trouble, won't necessarily have a lot of trouble trading, but it is good to have your own clan for trading purposes. Not necessarily your own clan, but to be a part of a clan. And having access to a clan can mean that you have access to other people that you can talk to play with. And I would recommend it, because later on in the game, you are going to struggle through things if you play solo. But the truth is, the entire game can be done solo. You could join a massive, massive clan like Velvet Underground or the Grand Malay Horde or one of those big clans where nobody talks to each other, but everything is done. And if you wanted to, you could probably find a group just by doing some basic matchmaking there. Or you could just do matchmaking with the global region. You can pretty much get through everything. But the only issue you're going to come up against is sometimes when you're choosing to go into something when matchmaking, it's not going to find any other players who are doing the same thing. When you're doing something like a sortie, most of the time you'll find other players. When you're doing something like a Gifted Lotus alert, most of the time you'll find other players. But if you're just going to a random node, or if you're just playing through the next part of a planetary junction that you need to get through, it's chances are that there's not another player at the same time who's trying to do exactly what you're trying to do. And that's why you can benefit from playing with other people. So the answer to the question, can you play Warframe solo, is yes, but. And the but is, you should play in public matchmaking. Don't talk to people, you don't have to, but play in public matchmaking because you can benefit from them by getting more credits, more affinity, more resources, and just by having other people who can help to revive you and help to take out tougher enemies. Would I recommend you playing the entire game solo? Personally, no. I think the game is a social game and it's a better game when social. That's my thoughts. Lucas, anything to add in regards to playing solo?
Nope. Nope.
Do you think there's anything in the game that can't be done solo? Lunaro?
No.
Lunaro, you can't do solo. Well, you can match.
No, Lunaro, you can't do solo, but, I mean, it's not an important must-do part of the game. It's more of a, on the side, here, have some fun.
But yes.
You can pretty much do everything solo.
Yeah. So there you go. If you are wondering whether you can play the game solo, you can. Should you? No. You should join the Cephalon Squared Discord server. Lucas, advanced topic.
All right, advanced topic. So, continuing on from last week, where we were looking at the Sentinel showcasing, and I finished last week's episode with Helios. So, jumping from H straight onto O, we have the Oxylus. Oxylus is the newest additional to the Sentinel lineup, and the Oxylus is all about search and rescue. search and rescue life within harsh terrains, like that of Ob Vallis. The exclusive mods for the Auxilius are scan aquatic lifeforms, which makes fishing in the Ob Vallis realistically has never been easier. This mod helps find fishing hotspots within 100 meters and then applies a luminescent dye to all fish within 40 meters so you can easily spot them. And secondly, scan matter. Furthermore, Auxilius is granted the ability to find resources within 60 meters to then display on your minimap for 8 seconds every 30 seconds. The Moltron is the Auxilius weapon of choice, which is a simple rifle-based weapon. The Auxilius Sentinel can be purchased from the market for 75 platinum, or you can pick up the blueprint from Biz in Fortuna for 20,000 standing, after, of course, reaching the rank of Old Mate with Solaris United. Moving on to the next one is Shade. Time for a change of pace and to slip into something stealthier. And no sentient is more stealthy than Shade. The Shade Sentinel does also have an additional appearance, but unlike the others, it's a Prisma instead of the usual Prime variation. Exclusive mods for the Shade are starting with Ghost. This gem of a mod makes it so that if enemies come within 10 meter radius of Shade's master, Shade kicks into stealth mode, cloaking both itself and Tenno invisible. But be wary, as it will only remain active while enemies are within range or until the Tenno attacks. And secondly, Ambush. This mod ties directly to the Ghost mod, as when invisibility is broken, the Tenno receives a 3-second boost to damage of 120%. That is a fantastic boost, and, you know, 3 seconds may not be a long time, but given certain situations, if you're right behind an enemy going for a finisher, it's more than enough. Equipped with the Burst Laser, the Shade needs some way to defend itself, even if that weapon is not silent. The Shade may be purchased for 75 plat from the market, or you can pick up the blueprint for 100,000 credits. And as stated before, there is also the Prisma variant, which can only be purchased from Barracketeer for 300,000 credits and 500 ducats. Keep in mind, he won't bring the Prisma Shade every single time, so you'll have to keep an eye out for when he brings it, or just wait for the Tenocon relay to rock up. Going on to the next one is Taxon. Granted the power to protect its master and freeze its enemies in place, the Taxon is a simple sentinel that was thought to be lost to the ages. That was until a cache of sentinel tech was discovered on Earth, including the blueprint to the shield-mending sentinel. Exclusive mods start with Molecular Conversion. Blasting the enemy with a beam within a 10-meter radius, this mod converts 200 damage dealt into shields for the Tenno. And that's pretty much all he really can do, so moving on. The Atarax is the Taxon weapon of choice, and this beam-based weapon deals ice-based damage, and has a chance to proc the freeze status. The Taxon is presently the cheapest sentinel to acquire, and is in fact given to the player upon completing the Venus Junction on Earth. However, its blueprint may be purchased from the market for the low cost of 5,000 credits. And finally, we have the Worm. Specializing in the art of crowd control and the protection of one's master, we have this Worm. The Sentinel is another built more for combat and or bodyguard duties, and sports a very shiny Prime variation also. Exclusive mods for the Worm start with Crowd Dispersion. Letting off a radial stun in a 10 meter radius, this mod activates when multiple hostiles begin attacking within a 10 meter range. And Negate. This handy little mod makes it so the Tenno becomes immune to a random status effect once every 5 seconds. The Worm comes fully equipped with its ever so simple laser rifle, and much like most of the Sentinels, Worm can be picked up from the market for 75 plat, or you can get hold of the blueprint for 100,000 credits. And at this time of recording, the Primed variant may be acquired through the means of relics, but don't get too comfortable with this, as Primed Worm will return to the vault soon. When it does, it may still be possible to purchase parts from another player. Now, some closing words for this showcase is I wanted to point out that each Sentinel does actually have an additional exclusive mod to its model. However, There is very little difference between each one, the only difference really being the range in which they activate. And what these mods do is simply make the Sentinel attack the closest enemies within range on sight. Sentinels have proven themselves useful time and time again, and it is because of this I look forward to any further Sentinels that may become available in the future.
As do I, Lucas. As do I.
Yeah. And do you have anything to add on that, Greg?
Not really.
Not really?
I like Worm because he looks cool. Especially Worm Prime. Turned him into a little dragon. He's sick.
Yeah.
but I do hope they bring another Sentinel along with a Warframe sometime. A Prime. Yeah. I was thinking about it recently. They need to Prime another one.
They do need to Prime another one. Nice. I actually like how they added Taxon into the game, because they gave it a little bit of lore, saying that he was a Sentinel that was forgotten to the ages.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just happened to stumble upon a Sentinel cache on Earth that revealed the technology to build him.
Yeah, I hope they have some, well, they probably wouldn't, in that case, make a Taxon Prime, but,
Maybe.
Still, interesting. I'd like to see what they do.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that is the end of that, and you will see that go up as a post on the website in the coming weeks. Hopefully sooner rather than later. We just got to pull our finger out, or I do. Thank you, Lucas.
Yay. All right.
So, just a quick community call out this week. I don't think we gave out any cookies, and there really weren't any updates for the reviews. So, we are still at a total of 60 at the moment, and that doesn't surprise me because looking at the numbers, there have been a bit of a decrease recently, and I think that's just because people are waiting for TennoCon announcements. So there's less
TennoCon
excitement about Warframe at the moment, and that's all right. That's all cool. We're still here drinking beer. No, we're still here giving you the news and telling you what's what every week, doing the best we can. And we'll still be there when TennoCon comes in 3 or 4 short weeks. Cannot wait.
Cannot wait.
Plus, next weekend, I'm sure we will be talking about fucking whatever's shown off during the week in regards to Railjack. Yes. So that's pretty exciting. And we've got a special guest next week.
We do.
A special, special guest.
Special, special guest.
All right. This week, we do have a Dr. Cephalon, though. So, this Dr. Cephalon comes from... Shit, I forgot who it came from. It is J100 in our Discord, and J100 is an Xbox player. Jay asks, for your next Dr. Cephalon segment, can you go over how to rank up with the Quills? I soloed the Chains of Harrows and the Sacrifice with a Moat Amp. Ouch.
Much respect.
I want to finally upgrade to something better, especially with the Flydalon coming to console soon. I want to be ready. I know that hunting Eidolons is needed to reach the higher ranks, but what's the fastest, least tedious way to earn rep for those early ranks? Did you want to begin on this one, Mr. Lucas, sir?
Fomvolus.
Yes. I think it's as simple as that. For the early ranks, really just going at night and killing as many Vomvolists as you can, and just picking up the little dooley-wackies that they leave behind. That's a Aussie term.
Yeah. Just your best bet is to probably find the Eidolon, and just not engage him, just follow him around, because Vomvolists always seem to be more attracted to wherever the Eidolon is.
Yeah. So it's actually it's actually really simple, to be honest. The first two ranks only require sentient cores, intact sentient cores, and they're the ones that drop from the Vomvolists. So to hit rank 1, you just need 10 intact sentient cores. To hit rank 2, you need 20 intact sentient cores. So I reckon you can do that. Plus you need the standing. And yeah, the standing comes from the sentient cores as well.
Sentient cores as well, yeah.
500 per
core. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could actually equip up your loadout to take on an Eidolon. I mean, it's not terribly difficult to solo an Eidolon.
Yeah.
Well, just the first one, the good old Terralist. And, you may find that after battling just the Terralist one time over, you probably will pick up something like 50 intact sentient cores, because the Vomvolus just the Vombolus increase in volume the further you go through the fight. So yeah, once you get further into the fight, the further you're closer to the end, you're just about to kill the Eidolon, you will actually have a large mass of Vombolus appearing, so you can just collect so many cores from that, like that.
So once you've done that, so that's the cores, how to collect a bunch of cores. It's 100 standing per intact sentient core. So yeah, you do really want to get some Terralists. Even just go into, like you said, you've been soloing. Even go into the plains at night, go to the bounties, grab the Terralist bounty, and go in, matchmake with other players. Because they'll be going after the Terralist as well. And even though you'll struggle yourself to take down the Eidolon, you'll probably find they won't. And that's probably the best way of doing it. Because if you don't go in, if you go in and no one else is there, just kill the Vombolists, as you were going to do anyway. But if you go in and other people are there, hopefully they know what they're doing, and you can take down the Eidolon. If they don't know what you're doing, what they're doing, just hunt the Vombolists again. I think that's probably the best way of doing it. Go in, matchmake with the Terralist bounty. If you take it down, you'll get a hell of a lot more cores. If you don't take it down, just hunt the little Vombolists and keep doing that over and over again until you hit rank 1. And then rank 2, because you really want to get to rank 2 at the very least, which is really rank 3. And once you hit that, then you need to start getting enough standing to buy the pieces of the moat, of the amp. Sorry, not the moat amp. I can't exactly remember which one I purchased. I think I got the Schwark Prism, which is a rank 2 prism. And I think the Jutni Brace, which is a rank 2 brace. But I can't remember what the third part, the scaffold is that I got. It could have been a rank 1 scaffold that I used. The Pencher. Yeah, it is. It's a rank 1 scaffold. So I made the 2-2-1. And that's good enough. So, yeah, it comes down to what you think you want to build. There are better builds to take down the Eidolon. The one that they recommend to take down the shield quickest, unless you're and you're not up to the Fortuna late level, so don't worry about that, is 223, which is I don't have the exact names here, but that's the best combo to and we'll do we might actually do, we haven't done an Eidolon discussion, we might do that, maybe we've got the next few weeks kind of planned out, but if we do have a down week, we might do an Eidolon special. What do you think, Lucas?
Yeah, good idea.
It's probably the best, because, I mean, there's so many different kinds of amps you could make. In the end, yeah, I'm pretty sure I made the Pencher, the Schwark, and the Jutni. I'm pretty sure of the three that I've got, and it does pretty well. It's not the best, but it does well enough.
I think I got the 223.
You got the 223, yeah, which is the one that they recommend. And yours is similar to mine. I think it's got the same attack, but yours does slightly more damage, I think.
And then I've also made a second one, which is just a 444.
Yeah, I want to get into the Fortuna ones now that I'm not fully ranked, but I'm more ranked in Fortuna. I want to start making some of the sixes and sevens.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything to add on? Anything else to add on Eidolons?
Not really. I mean, your best bet's just Vombolus. That's really all you can do.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it doesn't take that long, to be honest. Those first two ranks don't take long. It's the other ranks that take long, because you have to take down Eidolons to be able to rank up.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So that brings us to the end of episode 47. We're so close to episode 50, which, as we mentioned earlier, is planned to be our streamcast. It should be. We've figured out what we need to do. We should be fine to do it. Yeah, so we're only a couple of episodes away, and that means we're only 3 or 4 weeks away from TennoCon as well. It is E3 this week, so be excited about video games in all their wonderful forms. If you'd like to get in contact with us, find out more about Cephalon Squared, join any of our communities across the interwebs, go to cephalonsquared.com. You'll find out about our Discord, our Facebook groups, find out about our Twitter and our Instagram, our YouTube page, etc., etc., etc. Join us. Send us a message if you'd like to. Send us an email. Get in contact with us in any way you would like. We don't bite much. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I have taught Lucas to restrain himself with regards to biting. Give us a rating on your podcast platform. It took you a while. I was waiting for the response. Give us a rating on your podcast platform. We haven't seen any ratings in a couple of weeks, which makes us cry, hurts us deeply, deeply on the inside. And you don't want us to cry, do you?
Just a little bit.
Lucas wants me to cry. Right. Thanks, Lucas. Before we move on, we will, of course, give a shout out to our patrons.
Patrons! Yay!
So,
starting off, thank you, Rathok.
Thanks, Jellybean1799.
Thank you, Adop88.
Thanks, Lord Freezon.
Thank you, Logan Neal.
And ObsoleteNinja13, thank you. Alrighty, if you'd like to be a patron and have your name read out at the end of our episodes and posted at the end of our YouTube videos, go to patreon.com/cephalon squared. I am really getting to the end of my tether this evening. Don't know what's going on with my brain. I'd have to have a brain scan. Not really. My name's Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules all over the place. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri. I am Silverlight all over the interwebs. SilverLght. Thank you to our lovely, lovely collective community. Absolutely love you guys. Love the topics we discuss and all the little random semantics that go on. Thank you so much for your ongoing support.
Indeed. And thank you to Jan at @disco_box on Twitter for the intro and outro. His voice is soothing and wonderful.
Very soothing.
And thanks to you for listening, as you do every week, which blows our mind. And we'll see you in a few short days for whatever the next mini is.
Yeah.
K-H. Harrow, maybe?
Harrow, no? No, we did Harrow.
Did we? H-O-J-K-L. Limbo.
L. Limbo.
Must be Limbo.
Oh, Limbo.
Well, there you go. We do have a post about it already, so we're halfway prepared, which is good. Yay. Anyway, we'll see you in a few days for the mini. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.